The monsters are not under our beds.
They're in our phones.
They're in our phones. Front and center for the world to see. They're at the front row of the freaking inauguration. The end of the world is coming fast. Seems like the good times never want to last. Oh no. Kind of thinking we're all happy doomsday, Renfro.
Happy doomsday, Lauren.
What's up? What's going on?
You know, nothing too exciting. I hurt my ankle playing tennis this weekend.
I don't even know you play tennis.
I don't, and I guess that's why I don't do that.
Because you hurt your ankles. Tennis.
Yeah. So now I'm hobbling around like an old baby. That's all I got going on. I read a book. It's very exciting.
That is very exciting. Listener, he doesn't read books.
I don't read books. Not with my eyeballs, at least. Almost never fiction. So trying to change that.
2025 is your year.
Yeah. I learned to like sacrilegious novellas is my niche. So I'm going to try. I already ordered some more books that are along the same lines. 150 page count, sacrilegious.
My worry is that you'll order these books. You will dislike one of them, and then you'll never read again.
That's possible, but you know what? It's a pretty low risk because I wasn't reading before. So I'm already one book in the net positive.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. Beyonce won Album of the Year at the Grammys last night.
I saw your shirt.
Yeah. She deserved it so long ago. At this point, it should be a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Has she never gotten a Grammy?
She's the most awarded artist of all time, but she has never won Album of the Year.
Okay.
Yeah. They've been snubbing her for eons. And she's only the fourth Black woman to ever win it.
Wow. Damn.
This was the 67th annual Grammys. Isn't that nuts?
That's wild.
Wild. That's America sucks. Anyway, I want to dive into, well, now that we're on this vein of pop culture, I do want to dive into pop culture on this episode. But first, I have a disclaimer, and it's a very serious disclaimer and potentially controversial, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to read this one because I typed it out to make sure that it said exactly what I intended. And it is as follows. I wholly and aggressively believe that sexual predators, or any predators, are the scourge of the earth and should be eradicated. I don't think that's very controversial. Okay. But this next part might be. I also am about to shepherd us through an episode where I carry a surprising bit of grief about the figure that we're going to be talking about. And I think it's okay, I hope it's okay, that both condemnation and grief can exist in the same space.
Yeah.
That's my disclaimer for today's episode.
Are we talking about Diddy today?
We're talking about Diddy today.
I swear, I thought we were talking about water today. Oh my God. You're having me through a loop.
Whoa.
I thought this was a water episode.
That makes this so much more fun.
It's like completely off guard. I even had a glass of water right here.
I have a thermos of water. So there you go. Yeah. So that's my disclaimer. And I hope that condemnation and grief can exist in the same space. What are your thoughts about that, actually? I was thinking about that and I'm like, can condemnation and grief fit in the same place? And I think so.
Sure. You mean like the classic separate the art from the artist conversation? Or
yeah, or like, oh, I didn't know this person was a monster, but this person also gave great things. They did great things. Yeah.
Well, here's obviously a big prickly conversation, but here's kind of the way I've always thought about that is the only thing that you can do that actually makes a difference is give your dollars. So when it comes to an artist that's problematic in some way, you can make the decision whether or not to financially support them, and that's all you have. So beyond that, art is art.
Yeah.
I think, for example, like Roman Polanski, there's nothing ingrained about who he is in something like Rosemary's Baby or Repulsion. Those are great pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe find a way to enjoy them where you know he is not profiting from it. That's
a tough one.
About those things. I think as far as enjoying it, I'm not going to be like, every time I bring up Repulsion, be like, I know this is kind of controversial, but because of Roman Polanski, I can just talk about it as a piece of art.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess that's how I feel about it.
Well, thanks. I think we feel the same way about that.
Yeah.
But because I know you are not a big pop culture person, I have to first ask you, what, if anything, do you know about the life and career of Sean Combs, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Brother Love?
I have to say, I know almost nothing about P. Diddy. Other than things that have been in recent headlines, I know nothing.
I figured as much. Yeah. So part of me is going to enjoy kind of going, taking you through who this person is. And I'll try to do it as quickly as possible. So who is Diddy? When I started thinking about this, I could have looked it up, but I've lived through the peak of him. I've lived through the rise and the peak of him. So I didn't feel like I needed to look up who he was. So I'm giving you straight from my own firsthand experience of who we all understood Diddy to be. So he's one of, if not the most successful hip hop moguls and purveyors of Black culture ever. He's a rapper, producer, record executive. He won like 3 Grammys, and he's responsible. I say he's responsible for the soundtrack of a lot of our lives. Like, there are countless numbers of people around the world, really, who have music that he himself was either the artist on or he was the producer on, and it like shaped an era of their lives, particularly the Bad Boy era, which was like 90s, early 2000s. I'd say peak Bad Boy era was in the 90s. So again, he brought us Bad Boy Records. He did all that at age 23, mind you. Dang. He struck out on his own, started his own record company called Bad Boy Records, more like an imprint under Arista Records. And so he started that. He signed Notorious B.I.G., who everybody knows. That was his first artist. Mary J. Blige, Usher, Mace, Faith Evans, 112, Carl Thomas, Total. And over the years, he would literally work with anybody who's anybody. It didn't matter your genre. I know I say that he was this hip hop mogul, but he touched every type of music. And was a producer, writer, you name it. He was probably in the studio helping someone do something.
Okay.
He was a person or a talent that whatever he touched was going to turn to gold, right? Mm-hmm. So just even outside of music, it was fashion, perfumes, alcohol. I'm sure you know Ciroc.
Yeah, I've seen Ciroc.
Yeah, and so even just regular hydrating beverages, I remember him doing like a collaboration with Mark Wahlberg for like a hydrating water of sorts. It wasn't an actual water, it was more like a Gatorade type something.
Okay, I was like, isn't a water already a hydrating water?
No. And so, later on, it was competitive gaming. So this is a person who had multiple arms. And he started as just like a guy who would throw parties in undergrad.
Really?
And he was, wow. Yeah.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah. He was a guy who threw parties in undergrad. He's from Harlem, New York. Not a very obviously not a well-to-do kid, like literally from nothing to something kind of story. Yeah. And essentially, in a nutshell, Diddy was everywhere and successful at everything. That's who Diddy was. He became a billionaire. I'm not sure if he still is. But he became a billionaire at one point, which Jay-Z is the first billionaire of hip hop. So they're the same generation, the two of them. I think they're only like a year apart. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's of a class that most never see, and especially most in hip hop. Though it is the largest and most popular genre in the world right now, most of them will never see $1 billion.
Yeah.
But maybe they shouldn't. Any thoughts? Are you surprised? Are you shocked about who he is?
Not shocked, but I didn't quite realize how much of his roots was like producing and making. I knew he had a lot of companies and I knew he produced, but I didn't know that that was his genesis. I thought maybe.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been his latter years or something.
Nope. That's how he started. We would not know who B.I.G. was. We wouldn't have any of those records. We wouldn't have any of that era at all without Diddy.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He had the Midas touch. And we wouldn't even know Ciroc, really. Ciroc was already around. And then when he came on to be a brand ambassador, that's when the rest of us knew what Ciroc was. And yeah, so everybody wanted to be in business with Diddy. So he was a huge success, and everybody wanted to be like him, wanted to be around him. So like I said, he'd been throwing parties since the early 90s when he was in undergrad. And the issue is that he never seemed to stop partying, right?
Uh-huh.
They got a little bit more lavish the more success he saw, and his parties were well attended by literally everyone. And I even grew up hoping that one day I would go to Diddy's Hamptons white party. He threw this like famous white party every year.
I've heard of that as of late.
Yeah, as of late. But like in real time, it was always billed as like this really fun but lavish event of dancing. And he just threw the best parties. And I'm going to add this tidbit. I have been to a Diddy party, but I will say I think he has parties in one way. I think he has different kinds of parties. And the party I went to was quite possibly the best party I've ever been to. Wow. But I do think he has multiple types of parties.
Was he at the party you went to?
He was absolutely at the. It's not a Diddy party if he's not there.
Well, it's a weird thing. Sometimes Hollywood types will like have parties in their house when they're not even there.
Oh, no, no. These are his parties. I mean, like I said, in undergrad, he threw parties. He was known for that. And people loved his parties. He was a party promoter. So he continued doing that. He would have them at his house. He would have them in Vegas. He would have them in the Hamptons. All over. He's having parties on a yacht, whatever. And it legitimately was one of the best parties I've ever been to.
When was this? How old are you?
I was at least 25, maybe 26, something like that. I was in Vegas. Had a blast. Wow. Yeah, had a blast. But I give you all of that to say that this was a person who, especially for the Black community, was just like this beacon of like, this guy came from Harlem from nothing, and then he is a massive purveyor of our culture out into the world. And it was exciting to watch. It was like, oh wow, the way we dress is being put out there. The way we speak is being put out there. This is such an exciting thing. I want to go to his parties. And so it was just this very innocent, like, this, he's the coolest person you could possibly be, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, but he was known to throw the best parties ever. We all wanted to go to them. But, and this is where the podcast is taking a turn and why we're even talking to him.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, things got very freaky, illegal, drug-oriented, not okay at these parties. I don't know if they've always been that way or if they became that way the more success he saw. I don't know. But where he is now, 34 years later in his career, but this is a 34-year career in hip-hop, which is like, hip-hop is only 50 years old. So that's the majority of hip-hop. Yeah, most of its history. He is currently sitting in a jail cell at the Metropolitan Detention Center awaiting trial.
Great.
The trial is temporarily set on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Think they did that on purpose?
I think so.
Wow. That's wild.
I think so. I mean, they could change the date. We'll see. But temporarily set for my birthday. Cinco de Mayo. Can you imagine?
My gosh. That will be a party, right?
I mean, if you were out, he'd be throwing one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he's in the detention center and he's facing, you want to hear the charges? Do you even know the charges?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I know like I know the general crimes and stuff, but no, I don't know the charges.
Hold on to your butts.
Clenched.
Because I just told you about this mogul guy, like how great everything he was doing was.
Yeah.
He's facing charges of racketeering, sex trafficking by force, and the transportation for purposes of prostitution.
Heavy as fuck.
He's been denied bail 3 times. Mm. Like, they do not want this guy out. Apparently, he's been intimidating witnesses and, like, calling them repeatedly.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, so they're like, no, we're not going to give you the opportunity to continue doing that. Also, we think you're a flight risk.
Wasn't he trying to flee when they got him?
No.
Or reading something.
So that's, okay, this is an aside, but I've been wondering about that because he apparently knew that this was coming. His lawyer, the day he was arrested in New York, said that Diddy knew this would come, and he flew to New York because he knew it would come, and they arrested him. And I'm like, these charges are so insane. I'm curious why he didn't flee. Not that I want him to. I'm glad he's in jail. But
you think there's a point at which you're too famous to flee?
Well,
like, where is he going to go where people aren't going to know?
Bali. So Russell Simmons, who is the head of Def Jam, who is among the fathers of hip hop as well, he's in Bali, and he will never leave Bali because they have a no extradition clause.
Yeah.
And he could have just gone over there.
But he decided to go to New York.
He knew it was coming, apparently. But what he didn't know is that he would be denied bail 3 times. That's the part he didn't realize. He put up $50 million so that he, you know, it should have been enough to grant him bail so he can await trial while he's out with his family or wherever he is. But they decided you're a flight risk and everything you do has been so under wraps that we don't trust that you're not going to try to leave. And they kept going back to try and convince the judge to grant him bail, and they denied it 3 times.
I mean, the nature of his crimes, he's more like a mob boss than a musician.
That's what he's being charged with. Like, these are RICO charges.
Yeah, I feel like he probably has scary connections, same as a mob boss, probably actual mob connections.
And that's what the judge is saying.
Yeah.
That's what the judge is saying. So, like, no, you have to sit in a rat infested, which I'm hearing that the detention center he's in is rat infested. Imagine that. Let's take a second. You're a billionaire, riding high, getting whatever you want, doing whatever you want. And then you're not even going to Club Fed. You're going to a rat-infested jail cell because of crimes that you never thought that you were going to see, like, justice for.
Wild. Wild whiplash.
Wild. I would have loved to see his face at that moment. Like, the sheer shock. Because, you know, once they say you're not free, they immediately handcuff you and take you into the cell.
Yeah. There's no,
like...
I always think that's so crazy that you're in court 1 second and then it's like you're on the bus and you're there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. You don't get to, like, go and talk to your family and say, like, hey, no, you're being arrested right now and you're leaving right now.
Yeah.
Wild. Okay. Do you know how we got here?
I mean, I'm sure that I think I know the broad strokes, but I probably don't. I only know the headlines that I've seen in the last, you know, since he got arrested.
Yeah.
I know that there's baby oil involved. I know this little salacious stuff like that.
Which, by the way, the baby oil apparently is a topical drug.
Really? It's considered a topical drug?
It's not your average baby oil. Like, there's a drug in the baby oil that you apply topically. And people have been connecting it to that movie Blink Twice with Channing Tatum.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it either. I saw pieces of it because someone on the plane I was on was watching it.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, oh, he's watching Blink Twice. And there's things like that where they administer drugs to their guests without them knowing.
Is it like an anesthetic or something? Or like,
I don't know if it's an anesthetic or if it like makes you high makes you forget things. I'm not
weird.
Sure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So people compare the two, and I've heard that Blink Twice is actually really about Diddy. I don't know. Don't quote me. You gotta look into it. But
yeah, that's about all I know. Baby oil. I know that. I don't know if I should throw another name in the ring, but I've heard Ashton Kutcher is pretty freaked out because he was heavily involved in.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. Leonardo DiCaprio came out and was like, "I have nothing to do with this." It's crazy. Anyway, I'll tell you really quickly. I'll try to run through it really quickly because there's a lot of pieces, but I want to just like run through it.
Yeah.
So in short, there was an atomic bomb of a lawsuit. And I mean atomic bomb. I told you this man's been in the industry for 34 years. So atomic bomb of a lawsuit by his former artist turned ex-girlfriend turned victim of his abuse. Yes.
I knew this too. I've seen that awful video. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So Cassie Ventura, her case hit the public. I'm hearing that she tried to negotiate prior and he wouldn't. And so they went public. Well, they didn't go public. I'll say they officially filed it. They tried to do a settlement before filing the lawsuit. They didn't settle. She went ahead and filed it because there was some statute in New York about adult victims of abuse. There was like a statute of limitations that was going to expire. And she decided to do it before that expired because he didn't negotiate beforehand. She came to him and said, "You have wronged me." And he didn't care. So the case hit the public. It accused him of some horrifying things. So I'll run through the list. Horrific sexual abuses, excessive drug use by force, predatory and violent behavior against her. He settled this case in less than 48 hours. I have never seen any, talk about whiplash. I've never seen anything for $30 million settled that quickly. I'm saying $30 million because I think I remember hearing that, but I actually don't know that the amount was disclosed, but it was millions. It was at least tens
of millions. It would have to be millions.
Yeah, it was tens of millions, but it's too late. The information in the case had already done its damage. Like, people may have heard rumors about Diddy. I've heard rumors about Diddy, but it was always involving his sexuality, which I'm always like, I don't care if a person's gay, right?
Yeah.
But this was sexual deviance in an illegal manner. That's a different story. I had never heard that about Diddy. And I think the vast majority of people who are just not in the music industry also didn't hear that. Unless you were somehow adjacent to him, I don't see how you would have known.
Is it?
So he settled the case 48 hours after release. Because people are the worst, they accused Cassie of being a gold digger. Now, she had been with Diddy at least a decade. At least a decade. And the case details how long she had been going through this abuse from him. But people, despite Me Too, despite everything, they just accused her of being a gold digger because it wasn't a criminal case, it was a civil case. But people don't understand that at that time, she would not be able to file a civil case. The only justice she could have gotten was a financial justice, right? Mm-hmm. But she got vindicated because of the video you mentioned earlier.
It wasn't the hotel holding on to it?
He had negotiated it not to be released. I guess he paid off someone. But then after the case came out, it got leaked anyway. I don't know who leaked it. I don't know how it came out, but it came out. I'm assuming this was the hotel. And once the video came out, that's the first time we hear from Diddy. That's the first time we hear from him. I didn't watch it because I don't, I'm the type of person, no, and I won't. I'm the type of person where I don't need to see the abuse to believe that it happened.
It's some of the most psychotic abuse I've seen in a video like that.
Just
monstrous.
And if that, if the case did not completely destroy his legacy, completely destroy his reputation, the video definitely did, which is why he came out with a very unemotional apology that he was in a dark space and like he's better than that now.
You don't come past that one.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't even that long. He wasn't even like a young man when he was doing that. So he expects us to believe that he's undergone some massive transformation, but he was in his 40s when he did that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's fault for that.
Yeah. So from there, a ton of other lawsuits came in. Like, I can't even count how many. There was a bunch of lawsuits from different people who are claiming different sexual abuses, sex trafficking, prostitution, all kinds of things. And one in particular was from a music producer in hip hop and just pop music in general, who claimed that Diddy used him for sex and forced him into sexual situations with sex workers. And these other lawsuits are also corroborating what Cassie had already said. So she's completely vindicated at this point, where a lot of people in the public did not want to believe her the first go round. After the video, after all of these other court cases are basically saying things very similar to her, people were like, oh, we're so sorry. I can't believe that was happening to you. This man's a monster. And I'll say this, for as much of a mogul as he was, for 34 years of a career, when all of this was happening to him, not a single person said a word.
That's what's crazy. So there has to be so many people around and involved.
I mean, very specifically.
These crimes are happening at parties.
I mean, specifically, not a single person, like some, I believe that sometimes saying nothing is worse than saying something. Meaning, he's had friends in the industry for decades. Not a single person came to his defense, and not a single person spoke against him. They literally said nothing. He's just out there dangling on his own. I can only assume, to some degree, there's that mixture of people who are like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want any attention put on me for my friendship with him or whatever's going on. I don't want anyone looking further into me. And then there's the other side who probably already knew that this was coming. I find it hard to believe that the people closest to him did not know, also know through lawyer Grapevine, that something was going to happen to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the silence was very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty damning that not a single person's like, I know his character.
Not a single person. Even his kids were like, please stop bullying us. Like, they were more defending themselves. Like, this is our dad. Like, just leave us alone. They didn't even say, I don't believe my dad did it. They just said, leave us alone. Let us deal with this in peace. He's got 7 kids. The 3 boys are adults. And then he's got 4 daughters that are kids.
It's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids. How are you feeling?
It's a downer. This is our first Doom episode.
This is a Doom episode.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to talk about, even though we're talking about Diddy, and I want to use Diddy as a framework, but I want to kind of have a conversation about something much bigger than Diddy and meander around those concepts a bit. You cool with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So my biggest thing, and I don't know if you feel the same way, my biggest thing about things like this is exactly what we said earlier, which is like, there's tons of people around him who know these things are happening. And so I'm like, what is it about the psychology of the ultra rich that allows this stuff to just continue unchecked for so long? So it sent me down this rabbit hole of how much I hate billionaires. And so I started looking up, trying to find as much as I could, like studies about billionaires. And Renfro, what do you think the vast majority of content about billionaires is?
Well, content in what way?
Like, if you were to look up the psychology of billionaires, what types of stuff do you think you would get back?
Well, I would assume if you're talking about like psychological studies, they're all like disconnected sociopaths or something. That's what I would assume.
One would assume, but you find very little information on that. You know what you do find?
You find a bunch of cool like Bitcoin schemes or something.
Not only do you find Bitcoin schemes, you find content that talks about billionaires from a place of admiration and worship.
Oh, yeah. It's like the entire Republican Party.
It's the entire world. It's all of America, I'd say. Where all of the content, when I went down this rabbit hole of like, what is it with the ultra wealthy that they would be okay with this level of deviance, right? Most of the content I found trying to figure this out or research this was, here's how to be a billionaire. Okay. Here are habits you can take on to think like a billionaire. As if they're the marquee for, or like the standard rather, of who we should be as people.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's a very American thing where like you're sold this dream of you're nothing if you're not successful and you don't have money. But all of the content I was seeing was about billionaires as the standard. Like, you should want to be like them.
Well, you know, there's the whole commonly used phrase, I can't remember who it is, the like writer that originally said this, that all Americans come from a place of being a temporarily embarrassed billionaire. It's like,
no,
they all think of themselves.
That.
Never heard that?
No. Yeah.
It's like all the middle class and lower class all think of themselves in America as temporarily embarrassed billionaires. It's like, do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I never thought of it that way. But based on me looking this stuff up, I'd say that's spot on.
Yeah.
They don't think that what these people have achieved is so the exception. It's very attainable.
There's also, yeah, there's a lot of propaganda in their head making them think that, one, it's attainable, and that, two, to attain such an obscene level of wealth in some way is directly related to you having earned it.
Yeah.
I think it comes from, obviously, basic old American exceptionalism, mm-hmm. American dream, capitalism, kind of basic propaganda that we get about America. But also, I don't know if you were planning to go down this route, but also just religion, prosperity gospel. I mean, I went to churches growing up where that was something I heard about all the time, that it's like, if you give yourself and tithe, then God will reward you. And sort of like the obvious second thought after that is, so somebody who's been rewarded by having a lot of money must have gotten that way because they were being faithful to God and they were tithing and they've been rewarded.
Yeah.
So I think especially like the religious right, they have like two different angles of propaganda in their head that are telling them like billionaires are smarter or more ethical or better and in some way actually earned what they have, mm-hmm. rather than just luckily benefited from a system that silos wealth into their pockets. Yeah. It's not about who works the hardest.
Yeah.
Who's the strongest.
I wasn't going that direction, but you're absolutely right. Especially with America that purports to be a Christian nation, that's probably the driving force behind why people are always aspiring to become wealthier and wealthier and hoarding their own money and not helping each other.
Yeah. I remember there's memory I will never forget, kind of like a real turning point for me growing up. I had to stay after church for something, like, I don't remember, a parent or a sibling was doing something and I had nothing to do. And they had some class for adults about how to like manage debt. And I just sat in that room, was like on my Game Boy or something. There's a room full of adults talking about how to manage debt. It's like the church had like practical courses and like life things.
Mm-hmm.
But someone in the room was talking about how much debt they were in. Mm-hmm. And the instructor basically just shamed them and said, the reason you're in debt is because you haven't been
faithful.
You haven't been faithful enough and you've been a bad Christian. That's why you're in debt.
Wow.
I remember being like, that's the most fucked up shit. That's fucked up. That's psychotic to say that to someone and to think that way. That's an insane line of thinking.
Wow. Did that.
Meanwhile, it's a single mother with multiple kids.
Well,
sad she was telling her story.
I'm sure the reason she's a single mother was also shamed. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then she comes to the church thinking this is going to be a resource and community. Meanwhile, being told like, you're a bad Christian. You're a shitty Christian. And that's why you're in this situation. You need to give. You don't have much money, but you need to give more money to the church. And then you would be in debt.
That's insane. And this is not even the direction I wanted to go in, but
yeah,
I just want to say something. No, I want to say something about mega churches because I have a serious beef with them. They have so many people in their congregation who are literally in poverty, And yet the pastors have jets. They have the best cars. They have the best clothes. The people who are close to the pastors or pastor adjacent are incredibly wealthy. Untaxed.
Yeah. Mega churches are pyramid schemes.
And yet people come every Sunday or whatever day, Saturday even, and they throw themselves on the altar begging for some change to happen in their life because they don't know what else to do. And it's just, they're just as bad, maybe worse than billionaires in some way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're more directly predatory. They're directly seeking out the poor to steal from them more.
Yeah, but I don't think they are. Much like billionaires.
I think a lot of megachurch pastors know exactly what they are.
You think so?
I do.
Maybe I'm too benevolent. Maybe you're right. Yeah, you're right. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. I want to share with you this dark triad that I found when I was looking into the psychology of billionaires. And the only one I found was in Psychology Today, and it was about exactly why billionaires may not be the standard we should be looking at, right? Yeah. And I thought the Dark Triad, which sounds so cool. Wouldn't that be a great band name?
The Dark Triad.
Triad. That's cool. I thought that was a cool name and I wanted to share it with you. So I'm just going to quickly share my screen with you so you can see the Dark Triad. It's pretty Illuminati-esque.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Huh. Oh, wow. Okay, triad. Taking this in.
All right. So first, Machiavellianism, which is really hard to say. Machiavellianism.
Yeah, I've never seen it as a Machiavellianism.
I know, right? Is the willingness to exploit for personal gain. We know that.
Okay. Yeah.
Psychopathy. Lack of empathy toward others and a tendency to behave in callous and uncaring manners toward those people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Narcissism, the final side of the triad, sense of superiority over other people and convictions about personal entitlement to special treatment. That's the dark triad. Machiavellianism, psychopathy, psychopathy, narcissism.
Okay.
That feels like billionaires, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of us have adopted the worldview or been fed the worldview that billionaires are the standard. And a lot of us also believe that billionaires are bad people. How much of billionaire actions or them being bad people do you think is the money versus who they inherently were before the money? Like, did the money bring it out of them or?
Yeah, good question. I bet it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I bet they all had some level of the triad before,
mm-hmm.
and then it compounds over time.
Yeah.
Probably empowers those parts of their brain the more it's validated.
Because I think about this with regard to Diddy, right?
Uh-huh.
I do believe, like, for someone to reach this level of deviance and forcing all of these people to do all of these things in a sexual manner, drug manner, physical violence manner, I believe that that was already there to a large extent. And you only needed the money to give you the power to enact it the way you've always wanted to kind of enact it. I think that you can learn new ways to enact it. But I do think that there are people who, there's certain things that don't even cross your mind to do because that's not who you are.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how becoming successful at the game of capitalism so much that you become a billionaire, how much of that kind of deviance, innate deviance you have to have in order to even get to that point? Like, they feel pretty linked.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Especially when you think about the Machiavellianism. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to exploit people, it's like the person who, like, if you're, you know, you see a blind person who drops money and they didn't notice they drop it. There's a person who would know that they're blind and pick it up and take it. And then there's the person who would know they're blind and give it back to them. Or the cashier who says, you actually gave me 100,
uh-huh.
you know, instead of whatever. I think it shows up in tiny ways like that.
But yeah, I think of the three on that triad, if there's one of those three that's probably in every billionaire, I think it is probably Machiavellianism. Because obviously there's a big difference between like a Jeff Bezos and a Diddy in terms of their impact on the world and people.
Yeah.
Maybe they have different levels with the other two. But I think Machiavellianism is probably, in my opinion, the core of everything you need. I don't think there's any ethical way to become a billionaire.
I don't think so either. So I'm wondering, because I'm thinking about Machiavellianism against narcissism. These feel so, I do like the idea of it being a triad, but these all feel so overlapping and supportive of each other in a way that, in my eyes, would almost ensure a billionaire. I don't see how else, what other traits you would have that could come together so perfectly to make some of the worst people on the planet.
Yeah.
Lack of empathy, willingness to exploit, and the superiority complex.
There's one extra element.
What?
Luck.
Yeah. Luck.
Yeah. That's the little magic dust on top of the three.
That's true. You're right. Maybe you got lucky and you happen to be a genius.
Or you got lucky and you got born the son of a wealthy person in apartheid Africa, and then you come over to America and then buy other people's companies as they're on the rise and then pretend like you're the founder.
Yeah.
That was just kind of a hypothetical. Nobody in particular.
So the reason why I went this way is because we're hearing a lot of conversation about the U.S. being an oligarchy. I personally think it's been an oligarchy for quite a long time. I think this is just the most front-facing we've seen in our lifetime. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I definitely think this is more in your face than it has been since we've been voting adults. But I do think it's been that way for a long time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's also something that's been equally present on both sides of the aisle for, I don't know, at least the last 20 years or something.
Yeah. But when I look at the crimes that Diddy, like a mogul like Diddy, right? The crimes that Diddy has committed, allegedly, he's still in a jail cell, so we can't technically say he committed the crimes yet, but you know.
An alleged on the description.
Allegedly. We call him a monster, right? But I feel like a lot of the U.S. seems to think of other ultra wealthy people as benevolent and they don't fit in the same category just because their crimes are different.
Yeah.
right? Don't I feel like is there a tiered system for whose crimes are worse? Like if you're talking about someone who has the power to, I don't know, shut down U.S. aid versus a person who sex traffics, who are we to say what is worse than the other?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of billionaires who are causing as much life-ending damage, but it's not as direct. It's a lot harder to put a direct fingerprint on.
Is that why you think people aren't looking at, like, Musk as...
I think it's changing. I think it's changing. Musk, I think, is a whole separate culture war, political situation. I think the obvious person I'm bringing up right now is Luigi, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just some CEO of a healthcare company that nobody's heard of. He's not a front-facing public figure like Elon Musk.
I've never heard of that man.
Elon Musk is a celebrity, so mm-hmm. that's he's got a separate category there. Whereas the guy from United Healthcare was just a guy on the board. You'd have to look up who the board members are.
Yeah, who the board members are, yeah.
In order to take out that frustration. But I assume you're probably going to get to him anyways with this because it felt like it's leading there. But I think the public response to that was crazy. It was like mm-hmm. it was like a release valve being opened that didn't realize. I think anybody realized there was that much pressure on the system in terms of the anger and class disparity.
Yeah, but do you think? And I was going to go this way, but I like the direction we're going now. Do you think that they have that across all industries, that same ire across all industry? I think healthcare is a low-hanging fruit because all of us are impacted by that. So it feels very cathartic to see something happen to someone within that field. But what about the other fields that we don't, like agriculture and mm-hmm. those boards that do all kinds of stuff to our food, the FDA, like, Do we think that the people who are making millions off of us in those areas would be looked at the same way as a United Healthcare CEO?
Is purely speculation on my part, but I think we're headed that way. I feel like
I got really happy when you said that.
I do. I think that I'm controversial to talk about him this way, but I think he was kind of a gateway drug to people mm-hmm. thinking about things this way.
Luigi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody had this big frustration that wasn't quite being verbalized. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, healthcare is like the easy starting point because it's so directly touched everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny watching like the difference in discourse between the news covering it, network news covering it, and everyone in the real world.
Yeah.
Because on the news, you know, they just could not fathom that people were celebrating him. And even then, there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek internet folk humor to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the sympathy for him, it felt like they had no idea. They had no connection to that at all.
Yeah.
And I think that just like really showed this disparity that has been bubbling for some time. And I think that hopefully in the coming years, not that more people are going to get gunned down, but hopefully in the coming years, there's more open criticism and awareness of the corners of our society that are predatory, these huge corporations that are so predatory that aren't having a light shine on them. These people mm-hmm. that are, you know, basically murdering people for stock prices.
Yeah.
Have just been doing so in the shadows and raking in the cash. And I think people have their pitchforks out, not so metaphorically.
This is making me really happy, Renfro. You give me hope.
I know. That's not what this podcast is about.
It isn't, but surprisingly,
yeah,
this made me happy in doomsday. Yeah, no, I definitely have a much more pessimistic view of it. I definitely recognize that people didn't give up about the United CEO,
yeah.
Like at all, like zero F's given, right? But I just looked at that as like some one-off thing and it felt easier because it was healthcare. But I think about, again, FDA, I think about the Treasury, I think about all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are people as aware of the people at the top of those entities that affect your lives every single day? And what would the response be there? Do we actually have our pitchforks out? And you say we do, so I'm just going to go with that because that made me feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, some there are plenty of industries where I think just people don't have the media literacy to learn, but they have the frustration. So however that's going to lead, it's going to lead us somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I guess to try to kind of weave us back to the Diddy and the billionaire conversation, I think the biggest problem that I had going this route is that so much of the content was about how to become a billionaire, how to take on the habits, wake up at 3 a.m. and start your day before everyone else, like all these different stupid tips of how to be rich. Like, I can make you rich. I think the how to be rich industry is probably multi-billion dollars. Like, just and like no one's ever doing it, but people keep buying the stupid books in FedEx, Kinko's. Back to the dark triad, like these things that are, that psychology today is saying shows up in a lot of the hyper wealthy, especially when they did studies on the younger people who grew up in wealthy households and how unhappy they are. I started looking into what are the similarities between Diddy, this one billionaire who has these violent crimes attached to him, and the billionaires we see on a regular basis that people just sweep it under the rug and, I don't know, allow them to be president. So I started looking into, oh, wait, I didn't know that Diddy had more to him than just this. Like, and I don't say just this lightly. This is the most egregious that we've seen, I guess I should say. But aside from this, Diddy has a long history of lawsuits, knew nothing about, including tenant neglect, all types of landlord issues, which sounds like who? Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was my immediate thought too.
Yeah. He's been known to stiff artists, which I did know about that, but I didn't know to the extent, but I did know about that. And he, the artists that he himself has signed, he's been known to stiff them out of their money and hold them back. Sounds a lot like Jeff Bezos.
They're all the same guy.
Yeah. He literally said, Jeff Bezos literally said this, and it pissed me off. He said his negotiating approach is similar to the way a cheetah would pursue a sickly gazelle. This is Machiavellianism.
Kind of, yeah. For a certain kind of dude, that sounds badass.
Yeah.
Right. You can definitely see in like those self-help, how to get rich.
Yeah,
things.
But
you would say something like that and be like, yeah, I just got to be a fucking asshole who's evil. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's Machiavellianism, the willingness to exploit. Like, I'm going to exploit whatever weakness I see in you in order to win this negotiation. And I look at myself as the cheetah and you're the gazelle and I'm going to eat you.
Yeah.
Maybe even psychopathy.
I think of myself as a cheetah who's going up against a perfectly worthy cheetah. And we're on the same playing field and we're equal cheetahs.
And we're both going to come away scratched.
And we'll find a deal that benefits us both.
Yeah, but we will both come away scratched.
Yeah, probably a little bit of scratches. I mean, it is the savannah.
The other thing I thought about was, like, we haven't seen any of the billionaires that sat in the front row of Trump's inauguration exhibit traits that do not fit into the triad.
No, definitely not. You could go down the row and you saying that just now made me realize for the first time how similar they are just in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like the same exact person.
Just different applications because it's based on like wherever you were from, what your special mix of insanity is.
Yeah, what'd you
and it gets
into?
Applied a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all monsters. And I worry that people have tiers of who they consider monsters based on, you know, what kind of crime did they do? But like even the sexual deviation stuff, like that's literally the current U.S. president of the United States.
Yeah.
Literally him. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet people are buying his stupid meme coins and making him richer, which that I'll never understand. Even if you're a temporarily embarrassed future billionaire, why are you making someone else rich? Isn't that like counter to your goal?
I don't even know how to start breaking that apart. I even pretend to have a good theory on the cult around him. I don't get. I don't know if that happens.
Though I'm using Diddy, like Diddy is the connecting factor here in all of these billionaires. They all exist in a world where nobody tells them no, where they get to continue and have access to just about anything that they want. And they have power over people because of that money, because we hold them as the standard.
Yeah.
Where any personal autonomy, any logic over your own body or your own movements or what you would normally do, you hand it over at the feet of these billionaires because you perceive them. Your perception of money says that this is what you have to do in order to have that kind of success.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that about any of the victims with Diddy, but I'm saying that generally as a statement that I have seen people do things and people allow themselves to be in environments because they want the proximity.
Yeah. I mean, definitely see that a lot in entertainment.
Yeah.
You're willing to put up, even if it's to yourself, just putting up with a toxic workplace, sort of because there's also a culture that makes you think that there's sort of like a hazing, that there's like tribulations you have to get through, you know, you have to put up with shit because that's what everybody else has to do. You know, I always used to hear, even in like technical fields and entertainment industry, not just in like acting and those sorts of things, people say, if you don't want to do this, there's 10 other people lined up right out the door to do it. So when you find yourself in proximity to these powerful people, I think there's just already an infrastructure that's easy for them to exploit. Mm-hmm. It's like people aren't going to want to speak up because they want to be here, and they're not going to speak up because they're afraid of that very power infrastructure back down on them.
When I think about the inauguration, I think about that front row. They all fit in the same triad, just like Diddy does. And they have not a single one of them have shown that they care about anything other than money. And yet we continue to be controlled by them. Like, we can't see through. You and I can. We're not talking about us.
Yeah.
But so many people can't see through the money and see that they don't care about anything else. They will exploit you and have been exploiting you at all costs. Bezos doesn't have the marketplace he has because he's playing ball with small business owners. They may be doing well because of it, but they're not doing nearly as well as they could be. And now it's creating an ecosystem where if you don't have your business on there, you're not even capable of doing as well. And when I think about violence, even, we'll never know how much violence Trump has created as a result of his rhetoric, as a result of his idiocy, mm-hmm. right? Like, we'll never know that, but we do know that billboards in like Alabama have been erected that depict Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, mm-hmm. right outside of museums. Mm. We do know that these billionaires who people look up to for whatever reason, because we've decided that's the standard, like money is the standard, insert person who has money. We'll never know how many crimes have been committed on behalf of worshiping those types of people. And when I think about Diddy and everything he's been able to get away with for, we'll just say the full 34 years, we'll never know, like, when did this stuff start? But for it to continue for so long, unchecked in any real way, is probably the most disgusting part. But there is no but. And I also see that happening on the world stage in our own country.
Yeah, it's even worse with figures that have a public cult following, like Trump or Musk, because the people who are empowering them have no proximity to them, have no potential proximity to them, are benefiting nothing from them. At least like people that work with an entertainer or something, that's different. You're in the power structure, for good and for bad. You're locked onto the roller coaster. But these people voluntarily just throwing themselves, these billionaires who have nothing to give them, who would walk right over them, who'd spit in their face if they could. I mean, you know what? Maybe some of these people have the triad and they just don't have the luck.
You know what? You just nailed the fuck out of that.
You think that was the key?
That's the key. They have the triad, they just don't have the luck.
They're narcissists. Machiavellian.
Psychopaths.
They just don't have the luck. Yeah.
Wow. You blew that case right wide open. I didn't even think of that.
It just hit me as I was saying it. Slumps.
Don't you love when you say something you never said before?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Coming to an epiphany live on a podcast.
Live on a podcast. Yeah. I mean, not live for the listener, but, you know, live for me.
Yeah, live for us.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough that we as the lower class, because I'm not grouping all the middle class poverty. Like, everybody's below the billionaires, all right?
Yeah, proportionally
yeah.
for all the lower class.
Yeah.
Visualize what $1 billion is, which I also think your average Musk supporter doesn't have a visualization of how much money that is.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
It's difficult to conceive.
It's a hoarding of resources. It's the toilet paper doing COVID version of money.
It is. Well, you know, I was thinking about this just a second ago. Like, what is even the point? You've got so much money, you could never spend it in a lifetime. And now you're just like burning everything down around you to get more? Why? What are you going to do with it?
I think it's probably an addiction.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Like, I think at a certain point, what's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Like, you have to keep doing something in order to feel satisfied with your life. And when you have access to everything, you've tried everything. And that's what I think about with the Diddy story. Like, maybe he did have interest in sexual things, but then after a while, you've done it so much. It's like, oh, let me make it interesting. Let me make it so the person's unconscious, which is sick as fuck. But, like, I think you go for so long having done everything just because you can.
Yeah.
That you're always trying to up the ante to like, oh, maybe I could take over a government. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
I feel like I could do that in America. America's freer than South Africa. Maybe I could do it there.
At some point, they probably just feel like a god.
Yeah, I think so.
To a little sandbox store.
I think so. I mean, they go unchecked for so long. What actually happens to them? He's literally currently illegally taken over the treasury systems. With a bunch of college kids.
He's supposedly just walking through and like putting thumb drives into computers. And
yeah.
Unelected for a fake, made up organization.
I don't understand how there's not a military force that protects against stuff like this.
Yeah.
At this point, he's a foreign entity that has invaded.
I feel like we learned to some extent during the first Trump presidency that a lot of the way things work happen thanks to convention.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't actually structures to stop every crazy random thing.
Yeah.
And we're learning right now, like, yeah, there's fucking, he can just walk in there and there's nobody gonna stop him. Extremely illegal, but who's gonna stop him?
Yeah. I don't understand how the law enforcement can't stop him.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Diddy and billionaires. I am deeply bothered by the fact that, like, as the lower class, we come together in community and they get to wield their powers against us while convincing us to be like them. Yeah. That's essentially the cycle here.
Yeah.
And that's what Diddy did, which is why at the top of this, I'm like, there is a certain level of grief. Like, this is a person who has a huge soundtrack in my life. They touched so many different artists that I wouldn't even know how to cut out his music. Because he's touched so many, he's brought so many people to the forefront and they've gotten success because of him. I wouldn't even know how to cut him out. But more than that, it's like, wow, you've been so instrumental in getting Black culture to be respected and in the rooms with these executives and paving the way for so many artists that came behind him that he didn't have signed, that he wasn't responsible for, like people who have looked at him and said, wow, I've never seen a person do that in a boardroom before. And they're seeing that level of power and they're seeing that level of confidence. And he always projected confidence. It like the way he came about in our eyes was like, he's having so much fun. Like, I can't believe he did it. Like, this is just a guy like me, like us. And he dresses like us and he made it okay for you to be taken seriously, even though you have a street style. Like, he was so instrumental in so many ways. So there is that grief that I hate that this person is also a monster.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I didn't think that you were. Why do these two things have to go together? Like, it sends the message that in order for you to reach those heights, in order for you to have that kind of impact, you have to be a monster. It supports that idea.
I mean, you definitely don't. You definitely
But it does
don't,
support the idea.
I think the commonality between art and corporations, the two different billionaire camps we're talking about, is that they both have power structures that can exploit people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, maybe in business you do have to, but in art you don't have to. There are plenty of artists I can think of that are very well off, and I've never met anyone who said anything bad about them.
Yeah.
Weird Al, Jack Black, there's a bunch of people I've heard nothing but positive stories from, a bunch of people. So no, I think in art that's definitely not true. I think maybe to be a billionaire.
To be a billionaire, probably.
To be successful, definitely not.
Because in order to be a billionaire, it seems like you have to have exploited those artists to some degree.
Yeah, I think just there's no way that the amount of work you've done is worth the amount of money that you're taking in. The only way that that can possibly come to you is through some level of exploitation. The money that you're raking in should probably be funneling to other people.
Well, that's why, you know, when you hear about the streaming services, a lot of the artists are angry because they don't get their just amount in return. And nobody has sympathy for them because they're like, oh, you're already super rich. It's like, right. But the owner of Spotify, though, is hand over fist, you know?
Yeah.
And there's grief attached to it. Not just for Diddy, but just for the idea of exploitation being at the center of all of this, and that staying true to the art and being good to people is also success. That the marker of success, the marker of your value, has nothing to do with monetary means. Mm-hmm. I think that's the true issue here, is that we've been taught that, like you said, your level of monetary success is directly linked to your value and who you are as a person. And like at the church, the reason you don't have it is because of some ingrained deficiency or some like religious deficiency, when we really should be valuing non-monetary outputs, I'd say, or a non-monetary existence in order to measure our own success.
This is an anti-materialist podcast. Yeah,
I mean, I think that's about all I wanted to say, is that the billionaires are monsters. Diddy is one of them. The monsters are not under our beds.
They're in our phones.
They're in our phones. Front and center for the world to see. They're at the front row of the freaking inauguration.
The oligarchy.
Yeah. So billionaires are bad.
Billionaires are bad. No ethical billionaires.
No ethical billionaires. Anyway, I know that wasn't the direction you thought we would go with Diddy, but I think there was something larger to talk about than just how awful he is and what he's done to all of these people. I think billionaires just are bad. I don't see how they're not.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a good conversation, because I think it really like helped coalesce a lot of thoughts that I've had about billionaires, but never really picked apart like that before.
Nice.
Good thoughtful podcast, Laura.
Nice. Thanks. What's your doom rating?
Oh, my doom rating. Probably fairly high. I think what would push it higher is our level of optimism or pessimism about the future, which I have such a conflicting thought about. I think people's public opinion is going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think the systems that are bringing people down are going in the wrong direction. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe people are starting to come around, but it's too late.
Wow.
So that's a high doom rating for that thought.
That's a high doom rating just for that thought.
And there's an A- doom rating.
All right. I'm going to say 100% A+, 10 out of 10 doom rating. I have no optimism that people are headed in the public opinion is headed in the right direction. I haven't seen the evidence of it. And I've seen like little blips, but not enough for me to believe it's going to take for the long term. Billionaires are literal monsters. The last few days have been awful, an awful demonstration of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Diddy of it all, it's the stuff he's accused of, Renfro, and I just blew through it really quickly, but it's horrifying. It's horrifying. And you saw the video. That was one piece of it. But imagine she had been involved in that with him for 10 years. And that's how often he may have done that.
Whenever you see any video like that, and you think this person's capable of that, imagine how much is not on video.
Exactly.
I mean,
and how
that was in a hallway in a hotel where other people are staying. He's dragging her through the hallway by her hair. Isn't that what he was doing?
I've never seen it. So
it's, and he's yelling, and it's like, I mean, there had to have been so many people who could hear that.
But how, like, in your zone of your evil or psychopathy are you that you're doing this in the hallway of a hotel?
That's what I'm saying. The brazenness.
Yeah.
Is crazy. And that shows how much he's getting away with.
Yeah.
That this is part of his behavior. So.
And then he just goes and pays someone off and it works for years. We don't even know when that video was. At least I don't. I'm sure we could look it up. But he paid someone off and he did get away with it.
Wild.
He did. Whoever got the payment, maybe they're also the person who leaked it because they realized they did something awful.
Ugh.
I doubt it, though. Oh. Anyway, Diddy's a monster. Billionaires are monsters. All the people who knew what he was doing and turned a blind eye because he's rich and powerful. And because you're also rich and powerful, you're also monsters. And we are actively living under the rule of the ultra wealthy, and it's changing the globe as we speak. So again, A+, 10 out of 10 doom score for me. They don't give a shit about us. We shouldn't give a shit about them. And we shouldn't try to be like them because they're terrible people.
Yeah. Really messing up the vibes.
Really messing up the vibes. Anyway, make sure you rate and follow Happy Doomsday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow Happy Doomsday Pod on all the socials except Twitter. And until next time, Happy Doomsday.
Happy Doomsday.